The Testament of Mary by Colm Tobin. Read by Meryl Streep.
They appear more often now, both of them. And on every visit, they seem more impatient with me and with the world. There's something hungry and rough in them, a brutality boiling in their blood which I have seen before and can smell as an animal that is being hunted can smell. But I'm not being hunted now. Not anymore. I'm being cared for, unquestioned, softly, and watched. They think that I do not know the elaborate nature of their desires, but nothing escapes me now except sleep. Sleep escapes me. Maybe I am too old to sleep, or there is nothing further to be gained from sleep. Maybe I do not need to dream or need to rest. Maybe my eyes know that soon they will be closed forever. I will stay awake if I have to. I will come down these stairs as the dawn breaks, as the dawn insinuates its rays of light into this room. I have my own reasons to watch and wait. Before the final rest comes this long awakening, and it is enough for me to know that it will end. They think I do not understand what is slowly growing in the world. They think I do not see the point of their questions and do not notice the cruel shadow of exasperation that comes hooded in their faces or hidden in their voices when I say something vague or foolish, something which leads us nowhere, when I seem not to remember what they think I must remember. They are too locked into their vast and insatiable needs, and too dulled by the remnants of a terror we all felt then to have noticed that I remember everything. Memory fills my body as much as blood and bones. I like it that they feed me and pay for my clothes and protect me, and in return I will do for them what I can, but no more than that. Just as I cannot breathe the breath of another or help the heart of someone else to beat or their bones not to weaken or their flesh not to shrivel, I cannot say more than I can say. And I know how deeply this disturbs them, and it would make me smile. This earnest need for foolish anecdotes or sharp, simple patterns in the story of what happened to us all, except that I have forgotten how to smile. I have no further need for smiling. Just as I had no further need for tears. There was a time when I thought I had, in fact, no tears left, that I had used up my store of tears. But I am lucky that foolish thoughts like this never linger, are quickly replaced by what is true. There are always tears if you need them enough. It is the body that makes tears. I no longer need tears, and that should be a relief, but I do not seek relief. Merely solitude and some grim satisfaction which comes from the certainty that I will not say anything that is not true. Of the two men who come, one was there with us until the end. There were moments then when he was soft, ready to hold me and comfort me, as he is ready now to scowl impatiently when the story I tell him does not stretch to whatever limits he has ordained. Yet I can see signs of that softness still. And there are times when the glow in his eyes returns before he